Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." This very familiar text, as you know, is called the Great Commission. A commission is a command, sending someone to carry out a task or a mission. We usually think of this text as the great directive of our Lord to bring the gospel to the heathen, which we have usually thought of as being in foreign lands. Of course, we may need to rethink that a little bit, for our country today is no less heathen than anywhere else in the world. And with apologies to Pogo, we have met the heathen, and the heathen is us. Now, it may be that the idea of mission work has sometimes been glamorized so that it ends up a bit distanced from the real center of things. A popular mission hymn sings, "From Greenland's icy mountains, from India's coral strand, where Afric's sunny fountains," and so on, "they call us to deliver their land from error's chain." But we might better understand this idea of mission if we remember that our mission is carried out where we are, that is, where God has placed us. A few days ago, Chaplain Malstead had a dinner table set up here at the front of the chapel and pointed to it as being one of the most important mission fields, where families have their devotions and parents teach their children and instruct them about their baptism. Somewhere in every building on this campus, there's a nicely framed text called the Mission Statement. I presume that every time you walk by one of those, you stop and read it. You should read it once in a while, however. It refers to the college as being a liberal arts college, committed to the teachings of the Bible as set forth in the Lutheran confessions, that it provides education that fosters spiritual development, intellectual and creative growth, self-understanding, and responsible citizenship, that it aspires to produce students with a clear understanding of Christian vocation. That's mission, and it comprises part of what Jesus is speaking about in our text. Now, the Great Commission is not the only time that Jesus speaks this way. In the Gospel of Mark, he says to the disciples, "Preach the gospel." That was also spoken to the 11 disciples. Remember that their number restored to 12, are then at the Pentecost sent out. And that's what apostle means. They were sent to gather Christ's people into the one apostolic Christian assembly. And the commission is thus directed to them. that Christian assembly, that is, to all the believers. In our catechism, we confess, the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. And that describes this assembled holy Christian church, the assembly of the believers in all places at all times. Jesus instructs this apostolic assembly how this discipling is to be carried out: by baptizing and teaching the things he has commanded, that he has taught them, not their own message, but his. Preach the gospel, he says, which is to say, lift high the cross. We preach Christ crucified, says St. Paul. That's the only tool that our Lord gives us to carry out this mission, the gospel. It really is astounding how God carries this out. He does it through these common and lowly means. The cross, a despicable symbol. Bread, wine, water, words. Nothing flashy. A simple statement summarizes this gospel: your sins are forgiven. We see it also in the disciples that he first chose, a rather rough bunch of fellows, some possibly bordering on being ignoramuses. One of them, Judas, couldn't even finish the course. Another, at a most crucial moment, denied that he ever knew Jesus. And all of them, at one point or another, demonstrated their weakness and their undependability. And then there was the final one, number 13, called right while he's in the act of persecuting Jesus' followers. And then there is me and the rest who stand in this and all other pulpits, weak, frail, sinful, mortal men, as we are reminded so frequently. And then there is you. All who lived out their vocations in daily life, as students, in the factory, farmyard, field, shop floor, sales counter, or pulpit. Sinners all, who are made righteous saints through his own blood. He taught them, and he has taught us. He showed his disciples in his own baptism what this meant, that in his baptism he was baptized for the remission of sins so that he stood in the place of all sinners. As Isaiah said, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he sends the Holy Spirit to teach them so that they can proclaim about this baptism: as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. All this teaching is rooted in the proclamation, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's the teaching. That's God's doctrine. It's the law and the gospel. Your robes are washed in the blood of the Lamb. The vocation The mission of an apple tree is, obviously, to bear apples. The vocation of the Christian is, as St. Peter says, to proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And indeed, as our Lord also said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. To him alone be the glory, now and forever. Amen. This morning we will sing our prayer. May God bestow on us his grace. We rise.